Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kedushin Daf Pei Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the top line of daf pei beis at the Mishnah. We glance at the side in the margin where we have a topic heading, which reads Hanchoyos, instructions beinyin parnosa regarding income, hakshuros the asik im noshim, that have a connection, that have reference to dealing with women. The Mishnah, lo yilamed odom ravok soifrim, an unmarried man should not serve as a teacher of children. Soifrim, Rashi says, melamde tinoikas, an instructor of little kids. Klomar lo yargil rovok atzmelios min hasoifrim. An unmarried man should not be a constant teacher of children. V'gmor forish taimo. The Gemara will explain why that is. V'chein lo salamed isha soifrim. Likewise, a woman should not be an elementary teacher. Lo sagil atzma lios milamde tinoika. She should not be accustomed to teaching little children. The reference to little children essentially is a reference to little boys. That's the case in general when you see this in the Gemara. The Mishnah continues. Rabbi Elazar Omer. We should just read again from the beginning of the Mishnah. Lo yilamed odom ravok sofrim, v'lo salamed isha sofrim. Rabbi Elazar Omer, af mi she'ein lo isha, lo yilamed sofrim. So to someone who doesn't have a wife should not be an elementary teacher. This requires clarification. What is Rabbi Elazar coming to add? The Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo ire ravok behema. An unmarried man should not serve as a shepherd of animals. V'lo yishnu shnei ravokim betalis achas, and two unmarried men should not sleep under the same blanket. Rashi says, shelo yavo lidei mishkav zochor, so as to prevent stumbling to upon homosexual intimacy. The Chachamim Matirin, the Mishnah says, the Chachamim allow two unmarried men to sleep under the same blanket, and the reason for that is Shalom. Rashi says Shalom Nechshedu b'mishkav zochor u'behema. People are not suspect of violating the prohibition of homosexual intimacy and bestiality. So that whereas Rabbi Yehuda issued two rulings of stringency, he had said that a ravak, an unmarried person, should not serve as a shepherd of animals, nor should two unmarried men sleep together in the same under the same blanket. The Chachamim rule leniently. The Gemara, my taima, what is the reason for the restriction of a Adam Ravok serving as an elementary teacher? I leimo mishum yanuki, if it is out of fear that the teacher will engage in pedophile type behavior. Rashi says, "My time limit revok seifrim I neimo mishum dechashid revokem amishkav zocher detinoikus." If the fear is that he'll come to have homosexual relations with the young boys, Well, V'hatanya, the Gemara continues, but have we not learned? Amru lo le Rabbi Yehuda. The rabbis said to Rabbi Yehuda, lo nechshedu Yisrael al mishkav zohar v'lo al ha-behema. Normative Jewish men are not suspect of homosexuality nor bestiality. So what is the reticence of the Mishnah in allowing a Ravak, an unmarried man, to serve as an elementary school teacher of boys? Ella, the Gemara answers, Ravak, the unmarried man, should not be such a teacher, Mishum Amso Dinuki, because of the contact he would inevitably have with the mothers of the children. The mothers of little boys are commonly found in the schools to pick up their children, to tend to their children, and there will be inevitable contact between this unmarried man and the mothers of these children, and we want to avoid that. Likewise, Isha, a woman, should not serve as an elementary school teacher, Mishum Avasa Dianuki, because of the inevitable contact with the fathers, with the men folk, the fathers of the little boys. Rebbe Lozer Omer, Af Mi She'en V'chulei, Rebbe Lozer in the Mishnah said, even Af Mi She'en Lo Isha. Ibayalaho, the Gemara asks, Mi She'en Lo Isha Klal is the reference to someone that doesn't have a wife at all, and if you say that that's what he is referring to, then you have to think, what then would Rebbe Lozer be adding to the Tanakhama, to the first opinion in the Mishnah? So Rashi addresses this. Rashi across from here says, "Mishein lo isha klal u'moisif a de Tanakhama." He's introducing a chumrah, a stringency beyond the Tanakhama, beyond the first opinion. The Koma, the Tanakhama, it said, Ravok shalo nasa isha miyamav. A single person who had never been married to a woman. Leaving room to say, to infer, that if he had been married to a woman, but she died, there would be no objection. The Yasa, Rebbe Lozer lemeima, filu hoysalo umesa. Rebbe Lozer is then adding, even a man who had a wife, but she died, would be restricted. Avol yeshlo v'eino shruya etzlo muter. However, according to this first approach in trying to understand Rebbe Lozer, if a man has a wife, currently has a wife, she just is not with him. She doesn't dwell with him. She's not located. Whatever. She's not in the vicinity. That would be okay. So when Rebbe Lozer in the Mishnah says, Mi she'ein lo isha, what does he mean? So we go back to the Gemara. Does it mean someone who doesn't have a wife at all? And as we saw, that means he may have once been married, but she died. That is enough to classify her as ein lo isha, and he cannot serve as an elementary school teacher. El Dilma, or when Rebbe Lozer says, Mi she'en lo isha, it means even though the man is married, B'she'ena shruya etzlo, she's not dwelling with him. So you have a man, he's married, but his wife is somewhere else. And Rebbe Lozer is saying, a man in a situation like that should not serve as an elementary school teacher. Toshma. So we cite the following source to clarify the question. To clarify, and let's provide us an answer in clarification of the question. Af mi sheyesh lo, v'yeino shruyetzo lo yilamed sofrim. So it's, you see that we accept the Bayes approach, the more stringent approach. Even if a man is married, but the wife is not shruyetzo, she's not with him, she's not dwelling with him, she's located somewhere else, he should not serve as a teacher of young boys. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, lo yireh v'chulei tanya, omru lo the Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda in the Mishnah said that a single man should not graze animals. And the rabbi said to Rabbi Yehuda, Lo nech shedu Yisrael al mishkov zohor velo al habehema. Men are not, normative men are not suspect of engaging in bestiality. Therefore, there's no reason to impose a restriction of a man serving as a shepherd of animals. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, a no say, and we indicate ad hasof, until the end of the perek. Deos tanoim binyan parnosa, different Tanaic opinions regarding income. V'ezo umenius yesh lulmoid, v'ezo limona mehem. What type of crafts should one pursue, and which should one abstain from? The Mishnah. Kol shasokov im hanoshim, lo yisyachid im hanoshim. One whose income, whose craft, whose form of income is by providing services to women. Women need him. He should not lo yisyachid im anoshim. He should not be alone with women. Rashi says lo yisyachid im anoshim hafilim harbe noshim, even with a lot of women. Lefi she liboy gas behu, because he has exceptional familiarity with women, closeness with women. The kulon mechapoy solov, and if there would be any active intimacy between him and any of the women, all the others will cover for him. So he doesn't have, we'll say, the deterrent of being discovered or being exposed. V'ilui shachrino, if it were someone else that, generally speaking, doesn't have dealings with women. Bein shtei noshim tanan avalim shalosho arba shabir domi. The restriction in general for other people is only with regard to two women, but three or four women would be okay. So that Misha, one who's asokavim anoshim, has this additional restriction that he doesn't have the luxury of being alone with women, with any number of women. Let us take a look at the Tosfos, fourth Tosfos on the page, first Tosfos appearing in the narrow lines. Lo yachid im hanoshim, pirush bekuntris. Ve'afilu im noshim harbe. Rashi had explained a man who's asok of im hanoshim should not be alone with women, even if it's many women. Ve'davka roichel. This restriction is limited to someone who is a roichel. A roichel is a what we would call maybe a salesman of cosmetics for women. Aval ish acher muter, but a person who any other person would have no restriction. So that the limitation of the prohibition of a man to be alone with multiple women is someone whose income is exclusively from the female population, like a roichel. But other people wouldn't have such a restriction. The koshel ha-ram. The Omar Liel, the ram, has a difficulty with this. We said before, anoshim mibifnim v'noshim mibachutz, on our previous shiur on daf pei aleph, that if you have a situation of men in an interior room, v'noshim mibachutz, and women on the outside, meaning there's an inner chamber and an outer chamber, men in the inner chamber, women in the outer chamber, choshishin mishum yichud. We say that is a negative situation. That's a problem. We are suspect that one of the men will go into the outer room with the multitude women. Mashmadosul is yachidim noshim harbe l'chulei alma. From that, Gemara, and on that pay aleph, there was no indication of a specific form of income that governs that particular restriction, or that's responsible for that restriction. Rather, in general, if you have a group of women, a man is not, any man is not to be amongst them. L'chein nira li, therefore, Tosfos suggests, lo yisyached im hanoshim, the restriction of the roichel, of being with women, is unique. Afilu ishto imo, even if his wife is present, the sharinon liel, which under other, with regard to other men, if ishto imo, then we don't have yichud restrictions. The kevodavi roichel, since you're dealing with a person who is a roichel, he's a cosmetic vendor, iko chashoshetve, there is great concern of possible immorality, so much so that even if one's wife is in the same location in the general vicinity, that is not a sufficient deterrent for a roichel. Let's continue in the Mishnah. So after learning that one whose asokov is with women, he should not be alone with women, the Mishnah goes on, v'lo yilamed odom es beno umnes hanoshim. A father, which we know from earlier in the Masechta, is obligated to instruct his son in some form of income, in some craft or form of income. He should not teach his son or instruct his son in achieving an income through what we call umanus hanoshim, methods of income that are gained through serving the female public. Rabbi Meir Omer li'olam yilamed adam es benoy umanus nekiya v'kala. A father should strive to teach his son a craft that is Nikia and Kala. On the bottom line of this Gemara, the Gemara will ask, "My he, what is that?" In practical terms, what's an example of that? But Nikia Vakala, we should take a look at Rashi. Nikia Vakala, Rashi is Meforish B'Gemara Shapir. The Gemara will explain this well. And Let us turn back to the Mishnah. We said that a person should teach his son an umanus, a form of income, a craft that's nikiyah v'kala, literally clean and easy. V'yispalel l'mi sha'oishiv anechosim shaloi, and ultimately pray to the one unto whom is all wealth and property. A simple way of referring to the Almighty. One should pray to the Almighty for a successful income. She'ein umnus, she'ein bo'anias v'ashirus. There is no craft, there's no form of income that doesn't have amongst its practitioners those that are impoverished and those that are wealthy. She'lo anias min umnus v'lo ashirus min umnus. Poverty nor wealth is related to the form of income that one pursues. Elal kol ufi zchuso. Everything, all income is dependent on zchuso. Tosfos adds, zchuso pirush lefi mazalo, according to his mazal. Tosfos, at the last Tosfos says, de boni v'chaya mizoni, la bezchus talya milsa, el b'mazal talya milsa. So what Tosfos is doing is telling us that even though the Gemara uses the word zchus, which generally is translated as merit, not so when it comes to income. It's totally on mazolo. Mazolo is a term that one has to be a bit careful in trying to translate. Mazolos on a superficial level are related to what we would call astrology, but it has to do with a force that the Almighty created that has an effect on a person based on the time of day, the date on the calendar, etc., other details as to when a person was born. So the Rashi says, we have a little star in the Rashi, the al yoimar beliboy, a person should not say to himself, Umnezu eino ma'asheres. This income is not worth pursuing because it doesn't create wealth. Rather, pursue an income that's nekiyah v'kala. It's easy, it's light, and don't think for a second that because you're going to pursue some type of light form of income, there's no chance of your achieving financial comfort and security. Wrong. Elo yavakesh rachamim l'misho ishalo. You pursue whatever is proper to pursue, even if it's something that appears to be of little income. That does not mean that you will be financially insecure. Pray to the Almighty, and through that you will hopefully gain what you need. We turn back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, we have his name underlined, and he says with a tone of wonderment, Roisim Yamecho Chayav Yov Sheishlam Umanis, did you ever see wild animals and birds that have a craft? Vehein, Misparnas and Shalom Betzar, they sustain themselves without any pain. Vahalo, Lo Nivru, Elo Lashamsheni. Mind you, these common creatures that live and sustain themselves without tsar, without exceptional pain, they were created to serve me, man. Vani nivresi l'shamish es kaini, and I was created to serve the Almighty. Eino din shes parnes shelo betzar. If these common creatures, which were created to serve me, and yet they maintain themselves without pain, I, who was created to serve the Creator of the world, all the more so, it would seem logical that I would achieve my income, my sustenance, shelo betzar, without pain. And yet we don't find things to be like that. Elo shehor asi masai v'kipachti es parnososi. The reason for our struggle with regard to parnosa is a direct result from my poor ways, my bad ways, harasi, word ra, bad maasai, bad behavior. And with that, I've caused my own restriction, my own reduction with regard to income. So the message that this Mishnah is communicating is loud and clear, that one is expected to pursue some form of income. In fact, the father is obligated to see to it that his son learns how to provide for himself, teach him a craft or other forms of income. And even if it appears to be an area of income where little is to be profited, one would have a life of financial insecurity. Wrong. That's a mistake. Rather, put your emphasis on prayer to the one who provides for all, and with that, the hope is you will achieve financial satisfaction. Abba Gurion Ish Tzadion Omer Mishum Abba Gurion. So Abba Gurion says, in the name of Abba Gurion, Lo Yilamed Olam Es Beno, a person should not teach his son the following trades: Chamor, Gomol, Kadur, Sapon, Roya, V'chenvoni. A chamor is a Rashi points out a chamor, Gomol, Sapon, Kadur. These are Bale Kronos. These are people that are engaged in transportation. A karon literally is a cart. A cart on wheels, a sapon in this list would be a bit exceptional. He would be a person that captains a boat. But the idea being, these are all different forms of transportation. And it, we add to the list, we said a gamol would be a camel driver. The chamor we mentioned already would be a donkey driver. Kador is someone who produces and transports jugs. Sapon would be a seafarer, and a roya, a shepherd. And the chenvoni is a storekeeper. Rashi says regarding the roya, the problem is that he'll enable his animals to graze in fields that belong to others. That's a form of theft. A chenvoni, a storekeeper, he deals, we'll say, falsely with the public. In what sense? He might overcharge. He might dilute his wine with water and charge the rates that one would pay for wine. He might add debris into flour that he sells, thereby stealing from the public. A person expected to pay for 1 pound of flour, he's really getting 3/4 of a pound of flour and the other 1/4 pound debris. The Mishnah says regarding these professions, Gamol, Kador, Sapon, Roya, Chenvoni, Shum Nusam, Umnus, Listus. Their income is an income of thievery. Rashi on this point says, you'll notice in the Rashi, just a couple lines down from here, we've squiggle underlined, Kol Elu Umnus Listius, Kishelonim Bedrochim. When these people, these transporters, sleep on the road, Hein Nichnosim Veloitim Eitzim Minakromim. They will go into people's vineyards, gather wood for fire, for cooking purposes, Uperos and fruits, Vioche Niskorim L'Odom Umavirin Al Tanoim. Further problem is that they're hired by people, and they end up violating the conditions of their work. We continue in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo, he says in the name of Abba Gurya, Hachamorin Rubon Rishoyim. The majority of Chamorim are wicked because of the thievery that we alluded to before. And Hagamolim Rubon Kshayrim. The majority of camel drivers are kosher individuals. Rashi explains they are desert travelers, and they have a lot to fear. And as a result of being a desert traveler and being in constant worry of plunderers and wild animals, they will naturally tend to be more God-fearing. Hasaponim, we continue in the Mishnah, Rubon Hasidim. Hasidim is a higher form of piety than being a kosher. Saponim are the captains of boats. The majority of them are actually pious, because and sailing on the high seas, you're in constant threat of fear and or of danger than even the gamolim that we mentioned before. So that will bring them to a high level of piety. Toiv, we continue in the Mishnah, Toiv Shibaroifim Legehenim. Literally, the best of doctors are doomed to suffer in purgatory. This is an expression that requires a great deal of research. There is a lot on this matter. Rashi, Toish Ro from Legenim, he has a few points that he makes. Eino Yore Min Acholi. First of all, he's not afraid of illness. A person who lives a life without fear is not going to come to a state of Yiras Shemaim, of fearing the Almighty. So being fearless is already one problem. Umacholo Machol Briyim. He also eats food, the food of the healthy. Uvieno Mishaber Libo Lamokum, and he doesn't supplicate the Almighty with a broken heart. Ufa'amim shahirig nefashis. And at times, we're talking about a doctor, and his practice can result in people dying. V'yesh biyodo l'rapois he'oni v'en ha'mrape. And he has the power of offering health and medicines to the poor, and because they're poor, so he doesn't do venom rap, he doesn't service them. So how else would we describe a doctor that dismisses, that ignores the poor? So we saw the Mishnah says toiv shibaroifim leganim v'hat kasherim shibatabochim, the best of the tabochim. The tabochim are people that deal with the sale of meat. So the kosher shibatabochim, the kosher amongst them is shutofoi shel amolek. He's considered like the partner with the amolek people. Rashi points out that these tabochim, people that sell meat, Rashi on the first line under the Gemara says, Sveke trefes bois liodo. Meat whose kashrus is questionable, there's doubt concerning their acceptability. V'chosal mamono machilam, and he's worried about the financial loss, that if it turns out that what he has is really unkosher, so it's a loss. So being that that's the case, when he has suffek trefos, meat that's doubtful, that might be trefa, he'll sell that to the public. We continue in the Mishnah. Rav Noroi Omer. Now, take note of the length of this comment. Rav Noroi Omer, Meniachani kol uminus sheba oilom, v'eni malameit ez v'ni elo teiro. Now, what we're going to do with regard to this section of the Mishnah is we'll translate the words, but at the same time, we're highly recommending that you should research the topic further. Start with the Marsha commentary. Runori says, I leave aside all other crafts. V'eini melamed is b'nei al Torah, and I teach my son only Torah. The question that commentaries raise is, how can you adopt an approach like that when it seems to be a unanimous point of view that a father is expected to teach his son a craft? So, as I mentioned before, the Marsha deals with that issue. In the meantime, we continue here. What motivates Rav Noroi to ignore all other forms of income with regard to instructing his son, and concentrates primarily on Torah? Torah, that the son shall study Torah. She'odom oichel mischora b'lamazeh v'keren kemislo l'lamabo. The nature of Torah study is that in the merit of Torah study, a person benefits from it in this world, and the principal reward awaits the person in the world to come. Ushar kol umanus einam kein, but all other crafts and professions and incomes are not the same. Kishadam ba lidei choli, o lidei zikna, o lidei yisurin. When a person reaches a point of infirmity, of age, or of suffering, v'eino yochol lasek b'malachtoni, can't pursue his general income, his standard income, hare hu meis berav, he'll die in famine. Avoltura eno kein. With regard to someone who pursues Torah study, the same cannot be said. Ela, rather, misham rosoi mikol roben aruso. Torah study, even if a person comes to old age or pain and he really can't study Torah, he nevertheless will benefit from the reward of having studied Torah. So as the Mishnah goes on to say, it's Mishamroso Mikoro Ben Aruso. It guards him from all evil while young, and gives him a future and hope in his old age. Regarding one's youth, what does the scripture say? Those that hope for the Almighty will have their strength renewed. This pasuk, in the context of Mishnah, is a reference to those that are associated with the Almighty, that pursue Torah study. They will be provided with strength in their youth. Regarding old age, what does the pasuk say? Beseva is a word indicating old age, that they will be plentiful, be afresh, even in their old age. And likewise it says regarding the patriarch Avram Zokin, Hashem Berachas Avram Bakol. Avram was elderly, and he was blessed with everything. Motsinu Shosa Avram Avinu as Kola Torah Kula Ad Shelo Nitna. We have found that Avram fulfilled all of the Torah even before it was given. Avram Avinu lived prior to the divine revelation and the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. And yet, he fulfilled all of the Torah. And how do we know that? Shenemar, the Pasuk says regarding Avraham Avinu, Ekev Asher Shema Avraham Bekoli, V'yishmor Mishmarti Mitzvosai Chukosai V'sorosai. Here the Pasuk describes Avraham Avinu as keeping all of God's commands. Tonu Rabbanan. Kol Shasokav Imanoshim, someone whose income, whose dealings are with women, as we indicated before, the different services that women require, and you are a provider of those, well, Suro Ra. Rashi says, Suro Ra, the second line under the Gemara, Minhogai Ra, Kirvosai Ra, Lishtadel Imoi, Shihei, Sore Lo, Vuvola Beso. To paraphrase Rashi, it's advisable to keep away from people like that. We continue in the Gemara. Kagon Hatsorfim. And here the source lists off different kinds of crafts, professions, that deal primarily with women. And they include Tsorfim. These are people that form gold jewelry, including rings and bracelets. Vasarikim. Sarikim are people that deal with fabrics. They comb wool, but it has to do with people that deal with fabrics. Fabrics for women's clothing. Veha Nekuros. Nekuros are people that clean hand grinders. Hand grinders are used for making preparation of small quantities of flour and other materials that are subjected to grinding. And hand grinders is something that we find women, primarily women, operating. So the nekuros are those that clean out the notches that make up a grinder. The haroichlin, Rashi says, moichrin kishute besomim lenoshim. They are the cosmetic and perfume salesmen. The ha gardayim are weavers. The ha saporim, Rashi says, hanoshim tzrichus lahem b'shvil b'neihem. These would be barbers that are employed to cut children's hair, so that they fall under the category of asokavim hanoshim. They're dealing with women in the sense of women bringing their children to the barber for haircuts. Vahakufsim, launderers. Vahagera. The gera is someone who is a blood letter. And as such, he has to deal with the female population. The balon is the person in charge of heating up bathhouses. Bursiki is a person who is associated with preparing leather, tanners of leather for clothing purposes and for shoes. Ein mamida mehem lo melech velo kohen gadol. We do not appoint from these professions anyone to serve as a king nor a high priest. My taimo, what's the reason? Lo mishum depsili, not because they're disqualified. Elo mishum dezilu minasayo, rather because their form of income is, we say, lowly. Tonu Rabbonan, Asor Dvorim Nemru BeGeira. There are 10 things that are said regarding a person who's Mekizdam, someone whose profession is a bloodletter. In the time of the Gemara, and even up to recent times in general human history, bloodletting was a major form of therapy, of achieving health, recuperation from ailments. So people bloodlet. So regarding bloodletters, they are described with a number of different, we'll say, negative characteristics. Mahale Chatzido, Rashi says, Mahale Chatzido v'ruch ha'gasa v'nitle v'yoshev, Shloshim Simone Gaiva. These three attributes or practices are signs of haughtiness. Aval ein zu doima lezu, ubekulon ucholok imidas aksherim. And with regard to each one of these, he's different from the attributes, from the characteristics of those that are considered kosher, proper people. So that Mahalech Hatzido is a type of walk or gait, G-A-I-T, which indicates haughtiness. Rashi, there's a note on the side of the Gemara that says, "Bishcholich became a zakufa." He walks in an exceptionally erect posture. Some might refer to this as with his nose in the air, indicating haughtiness. What else? The Gemara says, "Veruchay gasa." His spirit is one of haughtiness. Vinitla v'yoshev. Rashi says that this is a type of person that will not sit unless he has what to lean on. And then sitting in a reclining fashion, leaning back, is a sign of haughtiness. And Rashi adds, by way of explanation, why all of this haughty behavior? That's because they feel, since people are entrusting their lives into his hands, so he has the right to feel loftier and grander than everyone else. After all, people are relying on him, giving their putting their lives in his hands. Furthermore, v'einoi tzora, he's stingy. Rashi says four lines from the bottom, v'einoi tzora b'mamono, he's stingy with regard to his money, lahotzi klum, to spend anything. He's miserly. V'nei shu melumod lechol etzel hamakizim, v'einoi melumod lahotzi. He's used to eating meals by his patients, those who let blood. The Gemara elsewhere specifies that one who lets blood, who bloodlets, must eat a rich meat meal, drinking wine, in order to hasten his recovery after the bloodletting procedure. So the Mekizdam, the garah here, is one who is used to eating by others. He's not used to spending anything. The Gemara continues, V'einoi ra'a. That literally means he has a bad eye. That means he looks at healthy people only hoping that they become sick so that they will need his services. Number six, Oichel Harbe, seven, Umoitzi Kima. He's accustomed to eating a lot. He eats every day by different patients, so he eats a lot. Moitzi Kima, this has to do with the type of food that he's used to eating, rather rich kind of foods. And Rashi describes a situation where the bread that he eats is probably something similar to our fine white flour. Namely, there's very little debris in the flour, and hence there's very little fiber in his diet, so that he doesn't end up relieving himself in the bathroom sense. Furthermore, v'choshud al harayas v'al gezel v'al shvichus domim, the gara is suspect of violating the rules of forbidden relations. Look, after all, women come to him to be healed from whatever ailment they're suffering from, and included in the women are all kinds of forbidden women. The whole population of married women is strictly prohibited, and yet because he's servicing them, there's the sense of familiarity that develops, and he's suspect of having yielded to the temptation. Also, he is suspect of having violated theft. How is that? So Rashi has an interesting twist to this. He says, Shanoshim goizlis ba'alein v'noizlis lo. The women customers, in order to... I think it's more than just compensate him, but give him gifts. They take monies, articles from their husbands and give it to him. What right does a woman have to take from her husband things to give to him? Hence, they're choshed on gezel. The blood letters are choshed on taking something that they have no right taking. And finally, vashvichus domim, they're suspect of violating or of being guilty of murder, spilling blood. In the case of a blood letter, it's actually quite literal that they withdraw more blood, too much blood, leaving the patient deathly ill. Dorash bar kapora. Liolam ilamid odem es benoim nisnikiyu v'kala. A person should strive to teach his son a craft, a form of income that's Nikia, literally, it's clean, it's free of theft and kala, and it doesn't require exceptional investment of energy and of time. Kala, literally, it's light. Mahi, what would be a practical illustration of an umanis kala, Nikia v'kala? Omar Rav Yehuda, we continue at the Taf of Omid Beis, Machta de Talmiusa. The Rashi says, Matam Yusa Machat Talmoyus. Then he gives you a French word, Shatfiros Asus Tlomim Tlomim Shurashuras Kitlomim Shamachresha. We might refer to this as embroidery. And the French word that Rashi gives has a distant similarity or distant relationship to the word we use, embroidery. But machta tamisa is embroidery in the sense that it's stitchwork, where the stitching is above surface of the fabric that you are working on. So it appears like furrows formed by a plow, where the plow, after it plows a field, so there are it creates furrows and mounds to either side. And now there's also an additional note. It's on the side of the Gemara, in the upper corner of the page, Nikia migezel v'kala deles bo chisaron kis. There's in the pursuit of a melacha kalakiu like machta tamusa. So there's no element of theft. There's no temptation of theft. And it's kala in the sense that it doesn't require from you any financial investment. The Gemara continues, Tanya Rebbe Omer, Ein l'cha umnus sheveres min ha'olam. There's no profession that at some point becomes unnecessary. Whether it's a profession that's clean, whether it's one that involves disgust. Rashi adds on the third line from the top, he says, Shebetele min ha'olam, Bein shinikia, bein shimeusa, yesh bo tzorech. V'imlo yilamdena ze, yilamdena acher. And if this one doesn't learn it, someone else will learn that profession. Right? The Gemara goes on. Ashrei mi shiroyas hoyrov umenis meula. Oylo lemi shiroyas hoyrov umenis paguma. Fortunate is one who sees his parents in a positive type of income, positive type of craft. Woe unto one who sees his parents involved with a lowly, problematic type of income. The way of life, the nature of mankind is that very often children follow the pursuit of income like that of their parents. Before we go further, I want to make a correction on what we explained on the second line from the top of the Gemara, where Rebbe said there's no umnus that's shoveres min olam. There's no umnus that is betalim in olam that becomes unnecessary, meaning that there's always need different services. And if you don't learn how to do it, someone else will learn how to do it. So that you're offered the opportunity to study, to pursue many different options. And fortunate is the one that follows in the path of his parents, assuming that his parents had a desirable type of income. Woe unto one whose parents were involved with an umanus paguma. Yef shalolam below basam ubelo bursuki. The world cannot continue without spice merchants and without leather tanners. Ashrei mishumus of basam. Fortunate is the one whose craft is one that works with spices and pleasant smells. V'oilo mishumus of bursuki. And woe unto one whose pursuit is through tanning leather, which is one that involves a very foul odor. Yef shalolim below zechorim below nekevus. The world cannot continue without both male and females. Asher mi shebonav zechorim v'oy lo mi shebonav nekevus. Fortunate is the one whose children are male. Woe unto the one whose children are female. In raising females, the Gemara elsewhere says that all through life, the life of a girl, of a woman, there are fears. There are fears that when she's young, maybe she'll be raped. There are fears that she might not bear children. There are fears that in her old age she might engage in witchcraft, which was more common amongst women than men. So it's in that sense that the Chazal describe or portray women or girl, female children as being a woe unto the parents, not because of any deficiency or lacking in women per se, but rather because of all the fears that we just enumerated that surround a woman's development. Rabbi Meir Omer, Li'olam Yilamid Adam Livno Umnes Nekiyu V'Kala V'Yavakesh Racham Misha Oisha V'Nachosim Shalo. As we saw earlier, a person should teach his son a craft that's Nekiyah, that's clean, free of theft, that's Kala, that's easy, that doesn't require exceptional exertion or burdens. V'Yavakesh Rachamim, and seek compassion, pray to the one who is the to the one unto whom is all wealth and property. In other words, pray to the Almighty. Sheina nius menuminus venashus menuminus. Poverty nor wealth comes from the craft, comes from the profession. Ella lami sha'osha shalo. Wealth and financial comfort comes from the one who is the owner of everything, the Almighty. Shenemar li hakesef v'li hazor lum Hashem tzvokos. Unto me is the silver and gold, says the Almighty, Lord of hosts. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, im roisa miyamecha, tanya. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, miyamai lo roisi. Throughout my life, I never saw tzvi kayetz, vari sabol, v'shulchan voni. I never saw a deer that works in fields to... Kayetz is someone who is involved with drying out figs in fields. I never saw a lion working as a sabol. A sabol is a porter. The shual, a fox, as a... I never saw a fox as a chenvoni, as a storekeeper. The hamis parnasim shalob tzaren. These creatures support themselves without pain. Vehem lo nivra elo sham sheni. They were created only to serve me. Vani nivreis li sham ish eskoni. And I was created to serve the Almighty, the one who formed me. Ma elu shalo nivru elo sham sheni v'sparnasim shalo b'tzar. Vani nivreis sham ish eskoni and udin shes parnas shalo b'tzar. Mind you, these common creatures that were created not for anything other than to serve me, and they sustain themselves without pain. I, who was created to serve my creator, the master of the universe, all the more so I should derive sustenance without pain. But as a result of my wrongful acts, my sinful life, and wrongful ways, I've cut down, I've reduced my income. Shenemar avoy noy sechem hitu, because of your sins, so you have been cast aside. Rabbi Noro Yomer Meniachani Kol Umanus Vhule Tanya. Rabbi Noro Yomer Meniachani Komus Shaba Oilam and Imlamid is Bini Alatura. I leave aside all crafts and I teach my son only Torah. All crafts stand in a person's good stead while he's young and able to work. As far as reward after you finish the practice of your craft, that doesn't exist. With regard to Torah, we say quite differently. So the Gemara continues, all the humanists of the Olam ain't made as level be may alduso. I will be mazik nusare mutabarov. When he's old, infirmed, and can't work, can't pursue the craft that he originally had done, he will suffer from famine and has nothing to draw on. Avol Torah ain't no cane. In regard to Torah study, the same is not true. It stands in the Torah study that one pursues, stands in his good stead while he's young and gives him a future and hope when he gets old. Regarding his youth, what does it say? That those that are hopeful and trusting in God will rise high up. And we mentioned earlier, and we can mention again, that the Kevei Hashem, those that hope unto the Almighty, is a reference to those who immerse themselves in the study of Torah, and Beziknuso Ma'o Omer, regarding one who studies Torah and ages, what does it say? O Yenivu Maseva Deshenim V'ranim Yu. That they, even later in their Seva, in their old age, they will be a fresh, to Shane Brown, expressions of fresh and youthful, if you will, indicating that the Torah that one studies not only provides for him while in his youth, but also will provide for him in his old age. As you can see, with the help of the Almighty, we complete Maseches Kiddushin, and we pray to the One Above that He will enable us to continue pursuing the next Masechta and all of the Shas. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.